you know, folks, I'm getting some.
How about those friggin' pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirate.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it!
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
We will get them all. I can promise you that.
And it's purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome in to the podcast for Pirates, and that's the Sports Objective. We're so glad to have you here on a Wednesday night. And Bubba, we've got a very special guest. How are things in China Grove tonight in the western part of North Carolina?
Yeah, doing well, Dave. You know, it's great to be back, you know, talking some East Carolina athletics. And here in the first part of the show, we're going to be talking Pirate football. The newest tight end to join the East Carolina football program, and that is Ole Miss transfer and former East Forsyth High School product, Javonte Connor. Javonte, we appreciate your time this evening.
No problem. Appreciate y'all for having me.
No doubt. I know you're familiar, obviously, with the western part of the state, but you're coming east and to East Carolina, so you're transferring to East Carolina. Why East Carolina? Why'd you make the decision to be a Pirate?
I really felt that, like I said in a past interview I did, it just made the most sense just with my tight end coach, my position coach, coming to East Carolina to be the offensive coordinator. So with him, like, a big thing when I got into the portal was, like, you know, like, I took into account that I would have to learn somebody's offense in, like, a 3 to 4 month window, and I knew that that would be a little tough. And with the mindset of me wanting to come in and play right away, just having JDB here at ECU, it just kind of made the most sense. Like, the offense he'd be running, it's a lot similar to Ole Miss.
You talk about that relationship with JDB, new East Carolina offensive coordinator John David Baker, but you know, take us back a few years ago, you know, to your recruitment. You were one of the top tight ends in the nation, and depending on which publication, you know, whether it's Rivals, 24/7 Sports, you were anywhere from, I think, 15th to probably 30th nationally in regards to tight ends, and one of the top prospects in the state of North Carolina after coming to East Forsyth from, I believe, Opelika, Alabama.
Yes, sir, Opelika.
So, you know, I know you committed to UCF, then decommitted from the Knights, then committed to Ole Miss. And you had, what, 45, 50 Division I FBS offers?
Yeah, I had a lot of them. I had lost count. It was so many. Yeah, I don't even remember.
So take us back to that and your recruiting process and just, you know, some of those schools you visited before settling on Ole Miss.
Recruiting process was like a bit crazy because I'm the type of person, like, even when I entered the portal, around this time, I hated it because it felt the same thing as high school. It felt like that all over again, but it was just more of a business aspect to it, and like, it was just more of talking ball and knowing ball. So in high school, it was like having coaches blowing your phone up all day, everybody trying to get you on the visit, everybody trying to get you on the phone. Basically everybody just trying to get a piece of you or whatever they can. And it was really annoying. I ain't gonna lie. I really tried to commit as fast as I could, even in high school. So it was like, I was just trying to get it out the way. It was fun though. I say it was fun.
Yeah. That's interesting to hear that tape because obviously, you know, from afar, you know, and, you know, having played a couple decades ago, you know, myself and going through the recruiting process, now, I think I was certainly more like you from the standpoint of, you know, a lot of guys seem like they really love the attention, But myself, you know, I just wanted to make that decision and then, you know, move on with things.
Yeah, just get out of the way. Because you got, for example, you got fans hitting you up in your DMs. Like, you put out a top eight schools. Why are we not in your top eight? Blah, 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 all this. Yeah, I was just trying to get done with it.
And here you are. Tell us what you know JDB. So first, I guess for my first question, let me back up. My first question is, tell us about JDB. He's been here for a number of months now, but what can we expect from him? Obviously, he's going to be the offensive coordinator, but as a person, a coach, what can Pirate fans expect?
I really feel like to expect out of JDB as a person, he's a real down-to-earth person. Like, he's a really cool guy. That was one of the first things that I noticed in recruiting that I really liked about him, the fact that he was young. He can be very upbeat. Like, you can just talk to him. And that was the thing that I loved about him at Ole Miss. Like, it would be times that I sat in his office and we weren't even talking ball. I was just talking about life. So it's like him having me and working with me in my freshman year, like, I really feel like that's a relationship that's outside of football. And that's a big thing that with coaching, like players and coaches, especially nowadays. And I really think the people of Greenville are going to really love JDB. He's a really cool person.
And I was heard by one person saying, Bubba, if you remember, that JDB is like the smartest dude in the room.
Yeah, he's really smart. He's really football smart. I believe out of this, the offense that he's going to run is going to be very fast. A very fast tempo offense.
Yeah, tell us about that. Pirate fans, you know, who've been around for 15 plus years now, you know, will certainly recall East Carolina and the way we operated offensively under Ruffin McNeil back from 2010 to 2015, up tempo system, you know, throwing it all over the place, but also running the ball very well. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this tempo that JDB is going to bring to the table. And I certainly watched Ole Miss a lot over the recent seasons and, you know, loved the hire when I found out we were making it back several months ago.
If it's done how it was done at Ole Miss, which I'm pretty sure is going to be done just around the same way, because a lot of things are similar. So I say that it's going to be something that it's going to put up a lot of points for one. That is the plays are made to score a lot and run up the scoreboard. I say that it'll more than likely be an offense that I don't know if East Carolina has maybe seen it, because it's going to be just like that fast and putting up a lot of points. Because the way that the offense ran over at Ole Miss, like, you put up 45, 50 points some games. All right. And it's like, that's just how it is. So I feel like with JDB especially having the ability for him to call plays, I'm already knowing, like, I see him throughout the season at Ole Miss. Even him being a tight end coach, we'll be watching practice, watching film sometimes. He loved taking shots. I say that about him. He loved taking shots. So I expect to see the ball down the field a lot.
One of the things I wanted to hone in on, you obviously have Casey Kelly, who is a former Ole Miss tight end, most recently at Oregon as a Duck, and the success that they had. You know, two guys in you and him that are very familiar with this system and the way JDB likes to do things and utilize the tight end. You know, so without diving into too many details, you know, talk about that, you know, from the standpoint of lining you up, flexing you out, you know, shifting, motioning, all those sorts of things.
To be real, I know at Ole Miss we did 12 personnel packages. I know here, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we'll be doing a lot of 12 just based off the room that we have. I know that we got a lot of good guys in the room and with different abilities. And so I know that I say playing alongside Casey would be real fun. I say that'd be real fun because I know the type of players and the type of player he is and the type of ability he have. Like, we can definitely complement each other, like just during the game and the offense. It really helped the offense.
No doubt. One of the things that I know you had to make the decision, not only JDB, but what about the fact that a guy like Shane Calhoun, we thought we were going to have him this year. I believe his senior year, he opts to go to, I guess, the NIL deal at Texas A&M. Did that play a decision in there, that knowing that you could be the number one target as far as the tight end room?
Not really. I really went into spring ball at Ole Miss, really just focusing on the now and what was at hand, really just going through spring ball. But at the same time, like, really just was getting a feel for everything and seeing how everything was. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I really just decided that I wanted to get on the field now and I want to play now. And I really feel like I could I really feel like I was getting to the point that I can really help somebody offense and, you know, just show my abilities. And so I decided to leave Ole Miss. So that was the main thing. And then, you know, like I said, just having JDB down at ECU, that played a big factor in it. And also Coach McKay, the tight end coach, he was an O-line GA down at Ole Miss. So, yeah, he's real cool, too.
And I think that one of the things you probably know about Pirate Nation is our passionate fan base. It's amazing. I can't wait to see you in a Pirate uniform. And obviously game days are, as Bubba can tell you, Bubba was coming when he was a little bitty boy. What was your first game, Bubba? How old were you? Like a few months old? He's been coming in his entire life.
Yeah, of course, attending before I was old enough to know I was there.
Right.
But, kind of piggybacking off what Dave is saying there. You know, as far as the atmosphere, and you had the connection with JDB. Of course, that was one of the things that immediately brought East Carolina into the picture. But I'm sure there was some exposure from your days at East Forsyth and East Carolina, a lot of success down through the years. Although, you know, last year was a struggle. So you know what's possible with this program. And you know how a lot of people refer to it as a sleeping giant, and you know, there have been those days, you know, where we were knocking off the likes of Miami and a lot of, you know, Southeastern Conference programs and ACC programs.
Yeah.
But you know, on your visits, you know, when you saw the facilities, you saw Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, perhaps, you know, highlight videos, you know, what was your impression of Pirate Nation and what ECU is?
I say I heard a lot about the fan base on my visit, and just going around town, it really gave me a college town vibe, and that played a factor as well. I really liked that, the college town like vibe, because another school I was looking at was SMU, and that was like downtown in Dallas, so that was like, yeah, that college town vibe, you really just can't recreate that anywhere. And you know, that's another experience as well outside of football. You just can't get those days like that back. You can't get stuff like that back. But yeah, I've heard a lot of stuff about the fan base. A big thing, like when I went into the stadium, shoot, just looking around, thinking about how I can be filled up, you know, just thoughts, you know, start daydreaming about stuff. But you know, I'm really excited to meet the people of Greenville, and really excited for them to, you know, just for me to be able to show them what I can offer and bring to the table, and how I can help the help the football team and bring them back to more of a competitive just nature, and more just bringing that competitive vibe back to East Carolina.
Javonte, we have a question coming from Justin Butts, whose family, you know, provides the Queen Anne's Revenge, which is the equipment truck that gets everything to all the road games. So he says, good evening, guys. If you would compare Oxford to Greenville, obviously you only went on your visit to East Carolina, but if you would, you know, as well as you can, compare the two.
I say they're very similar. I know before I even came out there, JDB was telling me it was really similar to Greenville. I know when he was coming back to coach for the Peach Bowl game, when we played down in Atlanta, they allowed him to come back and coach that game. He was just showing us a lot of videos about Greenville. It really reminded me of Ole Miss, I'd say. Just like, because Ole Miss, if it's a lot bigger though. I'd say it's definitely more people there. But the things I've heard about it and just what I've seen at Ole Miss, they compare a lot, and they're very similar to each other.
As a matter of fact, we have our good friend Shel Powell. He said, "What's up, boys from the Queen City? Charlotte Catholic beat Myers Park 1918. That's his son Randy plays lacrosse for Charlotte Catholic. So a proud dad. They won last night to move on to the North Carolina State semifinals. So that's very cool. And his question that he wants to ask, he says, Javonte, welcome aboard. We're so glad you're here. Can you give us some quick insight on the quarterback battle? I don't know if you really know between the two quarterbacks that are fighting for the starting job. Do you know anything about them?
I don't know. I know it's one from Michigan State and one from Missouri, I believe. I know the one from Michigan State is his name. His Kate Hauser, I believe. That's the one from Michigan State.
Yeah, Hauser, yeah.
Yeah, Hauser hit me up on Instagram when I had committed and everything. Said, let's get to work. You know, we texted a little bit, but I don't know too much about the other quarterback. But I'm willing to work with whoever. So that's between them. That's between them. I'm just there. I'm there to catch whoever throwing me the ball.
And how about as far as blocking? I know one of the things that the tight end, not only catching the ball, but I'm sure your blocking skills are second to none.
Yeah. I like to I'm a willing blocker. I definitely put my hand in the ground, you know, go at it with anybody. That's just the competitive nature of me. That blocking side definitely showed the competitive side. I enjoy blocking.
One of the plays or types of plays that I look forward to seeing, Javonte, is one that I saw that you guys ran in the Egg Bowl, I believe it was last season, you know, where you hit the tight end over the middle. I'm trying to remember if it was a delay perhaps, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're talking about the pop pass, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I think there was maybe a shift or some motioning involved, and then some play action, a little pop pass to the tight end for a touchdown.
Yeah, I say it'll definitely be a lot of stuff like that, a lot of concepts based off just different things. A lot of the stuff you see in the Ole Miss offense, I say you're probably going to see in the ECU offense this upcoming season. So it'll be real exciting and real fun. A lot of points are going to be put up.
Yeah, we kind of already discussed this a bit, but since Justin is just tuning in, he said if you would explain the JDB offense and what we can expect.
Fast. If I could just explain it really quick, I say it'd be very fast, up tempo, just a lot of points on the board, a lot of yards. Shots will be taken, so be prepared for stuff like that. Shoot. What he's saying, burn the boats. Everybody going all out. So, yeah.
Javonte, is he one to – I'm a guy that loves trick plays. Is he one to do trick plays or not?
See, to be real, I'd say JDB would probably do some trick plays. He'd give off them vibes. He'd definitely – I can see JDB trying to draw some.
That would be awesome. I hope so. In fact, you look at the schedule, man. I tell you what, I know we had a rough season last year, but Bubba, I'm telling you guys, with the recruits that are coming in and guys like Javonte, like y'all are coming aboard, and then you got the exciting offensive coordinator like JDB, that defense is off the chain.
Javonte, That's what I heard. I heard like last season the biggest struggle was the offensive side of the ball. I heard it was just like a big piece that was missing was the offensive side. I heard the defense was really good.
Yeah, kind of a good way to describe it is kind of like what former East Carolina quarterback, now a quarterback with the Arlington Renegades, Holton Ahlers, said when he was talking to Caton Hauser, the Michigan State transfer quarterback, is that it was a 2-10 season, not a 2-10 program. It's one of those things because of a few deficiencies on the offensive side, the difference between being a bowl team and being a 2-win team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that roster they had last year was definitely probably a lot more than what they showed. So I just say it like that. they definitely probably had a lot more in the tank than what they gave.
No doubt. Let's do a 2-minute drill now, Bubba. We're going to ask you some questions to get to know you a little bit better, kind of like a lightning round. And Bubba, I'll let you start it off.
Favorite NFL team?
Ooh, I like the Eagles.
Okay, I'm a Commanders guy, but I'll still at least you're not a Cowboys. I'll leave that alone. Okay, what about your favorite football movie? We have a lot that we could spout off, but what is your favorite football movie?
Ooh, I like Remember the Titans.
There you go.
And I like, ooh, it's one more that I like too, though. Ooh, what's the name of it?
Who's in it? Do you know who's in it?
Is it more recent or is it an older movie?
It might be an older movie. I think it might be the one with Michael, the old lineman. He attended Ole Miss, actually.
Oh, yeah, The Blind Side.
Yeah, The Blind Side. I like The Blind Side, too.
That's cool.
While we're on the movie topic, very quickly, Dave, what about, have you seen The Program?
No, I haven't seen that.
Check out The Program when you get a chance.
A very good movie. It. All right, let's go favorite tight ends.
Favorite tight ends? I like Kyle Pitts. I like Isaiah Likely as well, that played for the Ravens.
Cool. All right, Bubba.
Favorite food?
Favorite food? I like shrimp Alfredo. For sure.
Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Favorite music? So, like on game day, or are you one like many to listen to music when you're prepping for a game? Or and if so, what?
What's crazy is like I'll listen to the really. I'm like really different than what people think. Like I listen to like the really like the upturnt rap music, like on the bus on the way to the game, like. Whenever we finna be there, but then right before the game, I'm listening to older music, just like soothe my mind. Stuff like some Tupac, but it won't be no crazy Tupac, like some Dear Mama type Tupac, something like that. Shoot, I might even throw in some Beyonce. You know, okay. You never know.
You're going old school. I like it. How about one of the things my son, I'm sure, would love to know this. I'm retro. He's more of a new school gamer, like NBA 2K. What kind of video games do you like? Do you like playing games?
Yeah, I play a few games. I really like I like 2K. I like to play 2K a lot. I like Madden. I really like the sports games. I play a little bit of – I know this year I downloaded the WWE game back just because I used to like WWE like way back in the day. So, yeah, I downloaded it back. I'm waiting for the new college football to drop. That's what I'm going to be on all day.
August. Hey, that's Bubba's gonna be the first. Hardy.
Yeah,
you and Bubba are gonna fight.
Had a little paycheck in the game itself, right?
Yeah, I'm ready for that. That'll be fun.
Let's see what type of speed and hands they give you.
I hope I'm not slow because that'll be a lot. That's the best part of my game.
If I'm on there, I'll be extra slow. So it would be right.
I told out my friends. I said, if I'm not a 99 in y'all game, we can't be friends no more. It's just how it's got to be.
Yeah. And how do you feel about the college, about that game? So you're real excited about it. I think it comes out in August, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the college games because even I play all the college games, even the ones I think it was a few made before I was even born. Or I don't even think I was playing video games when a few of them was born. But I know I still even try to find those games and go buy them and play them just because – shoot, I love college football. When they had stopped making it, I was real sad.
Me too.
Madden kind of falling off. So it's like the NCAA. I always felt like, in my opinion, NCAA was better than Madden.
It's good. I miss it. Hey, by the way, here's a guy that you've got to know. One of the best pirates in the whole wide world. Not as a person, Pirate Al is his nickname. Alan Powell. You got to meet Pirate Al. He's a very cool dude. He's
Waterboy. That's the movie I was thinking about. That's the movie I was trying to think about with Bobby Boucher.
Waterboy.
Yeah, Waterboy. It was another one with I think he might have went to like Alabama. It was another one. I got to figure out what that one was. It was real funny.
Here's another one. Here's a great question for you from Justin Butts. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the schedule yet. But what game on the schedule are you looking most forward looking to?
I haven't too much looked at the schedule, but in conference games, I say off the top of my head, I say
Well, you got a trip. Here's a great one for you. On September 14th, you've got Appalachian State being an in-state rivalry game at Liberty. You've got at Charlotte, at Army. It's going to be big. Temple, Florida Atlantic, Tulsa. Let's see, North Texas. And the last game, Thanksgiving weekend, will be home against Navy.
Ooh, I say App State would be fun. I say App State would be fun. I don't even know too much about the rivalry, but that just sounds like a fun game. That sounds like a really fun game.
Yeah, welcome in Kyle from LaGrange Barber. He's one of our hosts of the show. And we're just talking, one of the questions, Kyle, we were asking Javonte Connor, our latest tight end, the transfer from Ole Miss, what game on the schedule he's most looking forward to. And he said App State.
Yeah, Javonte, glad to hear that. Obviously, conference is most important. But in terms of non-conference opponents, Appalachian State, as the so-called group of five goes in recent history, has been one of the flag bearers, you know, pulling off big upsets. Plus, it's an in-state rivalry, and they took the last two against us, one in Boone and then one in the neutral site in Charlotte. So we get them in Greenville. So it should be a great atmosphere and the second home game of the year. But, you know, you open up with Norfolk State the first game, so it'll be a completely different atmosphere for App State.
Yeah, that sounds like a real exciting game. Even now that I know that it's a rivalry game, I know that'll be really fun.
And by the way, Kyle, we found out that Javonte likes wrestling. He loves the WWE game. He talked about it right before you came on. And our good friend, Craig, said the Big Boss Man has entered the chat. He calls he calls Kyle the Big Boss Man because of his haircut.
Javonte, do you know who the Big Boss Man is? Let's see how old school you are with your WWE knowledge.
That's like 80s, early 90s WWE.
Like the oldest wrestlers, I probably know like people like Hulk Hogan, of course.
Boss Man was from that era. He had a feud with
him. Andre the Giant, people like that.
Okay, so you okay? So who's your favorite wrestler now?
Probably now, I say I really like The Undertaker. That was my favorite.
Oh,
I really
of all time. Okay, nobody currently. Nobody on the current. Do you watch it or do you just play the game?
I just play the game now, but currently probably it'd be Roman Reigns.
Okay,
I like him.
Gotcha.
Do you watch any of the AEW or strictly WWE?
Out of curiosity, strictly WWE.
I try, man. AEW just doesn't do it for me. I watch Bubba is not.
He's got to be careful what he says about AEW because you know the Shad Khan and Tony Khan, the owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You never know what the future may hold.
Oh yeah, that's true. I don't want to say anything. Sorry about that, Javonte. But anyway, we definitely with. Let me ask you, as far as restaurants, what kind of food do you like? We can give you some good recommendations for Greenville, or have you tried anything in Greenville for restaurants?
I know they took me to, what was it called? They took me to two spots. I know I'm not going to remember they took me to Sub Dogs one. I know I'm not going to remember the other one, though. It was like a steakhouse, it might have been.
Okay.
But,
you like barbecue?
Yeah, I like barbecue. Main things I eat, like hibachi. I really like wings.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wings. I really like wings. I really like a good burger, too.
Okay. Yeah, several good spots in town. Go ahead, Bubba. Yeah,
there's a place, Wings Over Greenville, that they had an NIL deal with your offensive line. So,
that's funny.
Parker's Barbecue.
The barbecue. There's plenty of barbecue options. B's, Parker's, Sam Jones.
Man, they need to extend the offer out to the tight ends, man. We down there with the old line too.
There you go. Wings over with them. Wings over Greenville. There you go. You heard it here on the Sports Objective. The tight end room wants to be included with the O line if you sign that NIL deal again. Javonte needs some free wings.
Hey, how about the offensive line versus tight ends wings challenge where you see who could, that probably not good for the training table, but how many wings can you eat?
To be real, now I ain't gonna lie. You throw straight flats on my plate, I might give one of them a run for their money.
Okay.
I say I might give like the best one a run for his money.
I mean, How many? All right. What's your sauce? You like them dry? You like buffalo? You like garlic parm, lemon pepper? What you go to?
I really like this flavor called Honey Hot. It's called Honey Hot.
All right. So hot honey wings. We got all flats. You ranch or no ranch?
Mm-hmm. Ranch. It depends. Right. It don't matter for real. I take them down.
How many do you think you could eat at once in the challenge? You got 1 hour.
I don't even know. I've been eating the 25 piece since a kid.
All right. So you do 25 on the regular?
Yeah. Like I've been doing that since a kid. And I still be needing more. Like I'm talking about like a little kid, like 11, 10, 10, 11, 12 years old. Probably before that too. Been eating Whoppers since like 5 years old. It's different over here.
25 wings. That's pretty pricey. I remember when you could get 25 wings for about $5 or $6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even close to that.
My question is, why the hell you eating? You've been eating like that since you were 5 years old. Why the hell you look like that? And I'm over here looking like Yokozuna.
I don't know. My dad used to have me like that.
Well, it's because you're working out. Talk about your that thing for people that just to give an idea. What kind of workouts do you have to do to be able to stay in shape to be able to play at D1 level?
I say one like. You got to run. You have to run, like, just to build. It don't matter if it's like long running. It got to be some type of running. You got to get in the weight room, of course, like the bench presses, all that. It's hard. It's not easy.
On your visit, did you meet Big John Williams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him. He had dinner with me at First Watch. Him and a couple guys off the strength stuff.
He's a real deal. Like him a lot. And one question I have, guys, I know that we've kept you here, so sorry for the length, but
it's all good.
Yeah, we want to ask you, we're actually raising money now for an indoor practice facility. And my question is, can you talk about the facilities of Ole Miss and if they have the talk about their indoor practice facility and what that means to the program, how much better the program will be in a couple years?
I say when you have the indoor practice facility in that field, for one, the big thing that I love when it's raining, it rains. Like it's no way you can tell us to be out here right now. Like I know down at Ole Miss, Coach Kiffin hated the rain. So it was like as soon as it started raining, we inside. if it's even on the forecast, we not out there. He didn't like being in the cold. So it was just that stuff like that made it real enjoyable. And then, of course, like being able to go up there like individual time and work on individual stuff you feel like you need to get done. Having that and being able to do that, I feel like the facility part come in real, real clutch when it's weather issues, like anytime it's raining. Cause if it's rain and you want to go get some work in, like you're gonna have to do it in the rain. But the facility really helped. It makes a big difference.
Now, Jay Vontae, obviously we wanted to focus on the here and now with East Carolina, but since Dave brought up Lane Kiffin, or I guess you brought up Lane Kiffin, just tell us, do you have a Lane Kiffin story or two that you're able to share?
Ooh. I got.
I guess he can share it if he wants to. He ain't Ole Miss anymore.
So me and Coach All Kiffin right. was real cool. Me and Coach Kiffin was real cool. Like Coach Kiffin. So it was one time that we was playing Georgia actually. So we playing Georgia and we're at the hotel. So I don't know what possessed everybody to get on this one elevator. But so mind you, we had the. It was a team breakfast that morning. So everybody wake up. And so mind you, the team breakfast might have been at like 8:40 that morning, like 8:30. I get up around, my alarm was set, it did not go off. So I'm probably running downstairs. It's like 8:25, 8:30. No, around 8:25. Mind you, we probably had to be down there at 8:30. So get on the elevator. I walk out my room and I rush to the elevator. I see a lot of other people rush to the elevator too. So I'm like, you know, we all just gonna have to work, make it work. And a few of those people on the elevator was O lineman and D lineman. So we going down the elevator. I don't even think it went down. Like, it just ought to, like, it might have went down a little bit and then it just stopped.
Oh my God.
And so we got this TV in like 3-4 minutes. Everybody panicking, and this is early in the morning. So I remember we're on it, and everybody like losing it. Like, a couple minutes went by, we start calling, everybody panicking. and this is on a game day morning. Like, this is no other time for this to happen but a game day morning. So yeah, that's happening. So I remember it was a lot of funny stuff. Like, it was a guy that used to follow Coach Kiffin around. I'm not gonna say his name, but he was kind of like Coach Kiffin's like right hand man. But Coach Kiffin, in a way, like, he used to have him running everywhere. So like he come running up. We hear him running around, and he come running to the elevator. We still stuck in there. It was getting hot. Like, people sweating. Like, I remember it was an O lineman, a few D linemen had their shirts off. It was bad. We probably was on there for probably about 30, 40 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah, they had to get us through out through the top. So we get in there. And so, no, by the time I got downstairs to go get my food, like, the rest of the team was going. And they had went, because, like, you usually have time to go down and get breakfast. You can go back to your room, put on whatever you finna put on, like, just to do the walkthroughs in. And then you come back down for the team meet with Coach Kiffin. So we go in there, and I'm going to get the breakfast, and so I see Coach Kiffin, and I'm like, and I just missed the team dinner and all that. Not the team dinner, but the team breakfast and all that. But, like, we still had a little we had a reason because of the elevator. But, like, it was still in my head, like, man, he finna say something. Like, but so he walk up, and so, like, I go in, and then he's walking up to me, and I'm like, no way he walking up to me. Like, he coming near me, bro. He coming near me. So he say, during the team meeting, I want you to go up and tell your experience on what happened on the elevator. And I'm like, what you mean? But it was a lot of funny stuff. Like, all right, for example, our strength coach, like, he had a real funny voice. Like, he sounded like a barbarian. Like, he would say stuff like, one minute. Like, he was, like, trying to open up the elevator door. Like, it was just chaotic on the elevator. Like, it was so wild. Then you got Coach Kiffin, the little right-hand man. Like, he's talking, everybody calm down. Everything's going to be okay. We're like, man, come on, man. Like, y'all just open the doors up. So, yeah, it was a lot going on. Yes, and it was another thing with Coach Kiffin dog. His dog, Juice, the little dog ate up everybody in the tight end room. He came in the tight end room while we was in the offensive meeting with the whole offense, and he ate everybody breakfast.
Oh, man.
Yes. How much breakfast
was that the dog ate?
It was wild. Like, I was like, his stomach got to be tore up. Like, it's no way. Like, well, there was so many. Juice was like a lab or something. I don't know what he was, okay. But Juice, yeah, we in the offensive meeting, and everybody had, usually we get our stuff from the calf and come right over to the meeting room, leave it in the meeting room because you can't have it in the offensive meeting room. So come back there, and everybody food, like, the plates on the ground. Like, man, what did happen, man? You got Juice sitting outside the room just wagging his tail. Like, bro, there's some wrong. That dog really run the facility up there, though.
Oxford. We know who runs Oxford now.
Juice runs Oxford.
That's awesome. That's a great story. So was he good? Did he get sick? How was he?
Is that the dog here there?
Yes, Juice. Juice is so, like, Jim. I don't know, that dog is.
He's a yellow lab.
Yep. He's something else. Juice is something else. Like, he's a very funny dog, though.
Juice was on the loose.
Literally. Oh,
do you have any pets? Do you have any animals? Any dogs, cats?
Nah, I don't got any. I got time at home, though, back with my family.
Right. Well, I'm sure you don't have a lot of time to take care of Juice or any other animals, because you've got a job to do with not only schoolwork, but also with that. And do you have a major that you have in mind for East Carolina?
Yeah, I'm trying to my major is communications as of right now. I'm probably going to keep that the same, because I really want to get into the sports broadcasting at the high school. Not high school, at the college, after my player career.
All right. Well, you're always welcome here. You definitely have a great personality for it. And I'm sure you in high school, did you play more than football?
Yeah, I played a little basketball too, but that was the main sport. Did a little track as well. Those were the main things.
What events did you do in track?
I just did the jumping events. They tried to get me to do the 200 and 400, but I didn't want to do that. Yeah, they looked a little too fast. I didn't want to go out there.
Especially the 400's no joke. The 400, that's a man's event right there, because if you're not prepared for it, the 200, obviously you got to be prepared, but the 400, if you're not used to running it, they're about 300, 350 meters, you'll hit a wall.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah, but the other events I did was like high jump. I know I did triple jump. I tried long jump one time, but I didn't like it.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you, Javonte. In fact, I know that Pirate Nation's very excited. I can't wait for to see you in the uniform, ready to go. And August 31st, Norfolk State, and maybe it would be great to hear your name when Morgan Ehlers is the public address announcer, and to hear him say Javonte Connor. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
How can people follow you? Are you on X and like Instagram and stuff?
Yeah, I'm on X and Instagram. Instagram, I believe. Shoot, I don't even know it. My name, like Javonte and then C, I think. And then my ex is Connor Javonte, just my last name first, and then the first name after that.
Well, we wish you the best. Thank you so much. You've spent a long time with us, and I'm glad to get a chance to know you. Thank you so much for choosing East Carolina, and we look forward to a lot of victories with you there in the uniform.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
All right. Hope you have a great night.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate him coming on. Wow. We've got a lot of great things to look forward to. With JDB, Kyle, he said, you missed it, but he's saying that with JDB's offense, a lot of points put up, a lot of chances, I guess, taking downfield, and it's going to be a fast-paced offense. So we appreciate
it. Caught the tail end of him. He seems to have a good personality. I'm sure, guys, you was talking about earlier, but just quickly, just for my knowledge, what was his playing time at Ole Miss? What kind of numbers did he put up? Did he see the field much? I did not do my research. Been very busy today.
Well, I know that obviously with being the tight ends, he was coming from Forsyth High School there. And then obviously going to Ole Miss, he had other offers, including, I believe he was going to at one point UCF. I'll have to get his numbers here.
Okay.
I thought he was going to have that. I was studying some other stuff, so I knew. Okay.
We'll do that research later.
Javonte, like Dave was saying, he was a UCF commitment, and then the connection to UCF was one of his coaches from Opelika when he was in high school there before transferring to East Forsyth in Kernersville. Just east of Winston-Salem, I believe that coach, I went to UCF and joined Gus Malzahn's staff, and so that led to that commitment. Not sure why he decommitted from them, but then he obviously landed at Ole Miss after 45 to 50 FBS offers, just a host of SEC, ACC, Oregon, you name it. He had offers from a lot of big time programs around the country, and I'm glad to have him now as a Pirate. Pretty sure he redshirted last season. Obviously, now you have the 4-game rule in effect, so I'm trying to see if perhaps he was utilized for 4 games or less. But he's a guy that's going to have a lot of football to play in the purple and gold.
No doubt. Looking forward to him. In fact, he brings
great attitude. I hope he succeeds.
Yeah, and guys, looks like with football, we're with JDB, everything I've heard, I know that you guys are going to say it has to translate to the field, but Mike Houston made a great hire, and so far so good. And with the, I would say right now, what do you guys think of offensive line-wise? Is that another area that definitely, I think Coach Houston said there's a few more that they're going to go after, I guess, for the transfer portal, but as far as pickups, but they want to add to the team. But I know offensive lineman is one that I would like to see more of depth-wise.
Yeah, here recently you had the commitment of Carson Jones from the University of Houston. Didn't really log much playing time there, but I think he's primarily, you know, a special teams guy. But you lost Sapp on the Florida State transfer, you know, from everything we heard from reliable sources, you know, just was not a fit, kind of like Omega Blake. And, of course, Mike Houston, like any good coach would, and he's not going to do anything to jeopardize his locker room and culture. So just not that they're you know, you're bad people, we certainly don't know them personally, but just based on what we were hearing, you know, just not a fit at East Carolina for whatever reason. But so, yeah, interested to see, in addition to Carson Jones from Houston, who else the Pirates will add. But in John David Baker, as well as Mike Houston, have said in post-spring practice interviews that we're definitely looking to add another at least two or three pieces probably for the offensive line.
You know, you would think there would be some kids at the FCS or JUCO level that would want to move up, you know. And
kind of to your point, you know, you have Sapp, the Florida State transfer, not working out. But then I believe it was Darius Bell from the University of Maine, from everything I've heard. I think he is working out well thus far through spring practice. So that's one of those things. A lot of people get enamored with taking a guy from a Florida State or an Alabama or Georgia or whatever household program. But, you know, a guy that's played a lot of football and excelled at the FCS level, like Darius did as a Maine Black Bear, there's a lot to be said for that.
No doubt. And you know, at this point, offensive linemen are hard to come by. And, you know, we have some bodies. It ain't like we didn't have offensive linemen last year. They just didn't succeed. You know, how much of that was the talent issue? How much of that was that issue with, you know, the O-line coach last year and Kirkpatrick, you know, from what I hear, did not mesh. You didn't have a quarterback. We really didn't have an offense at all last year. So some of that talent that's there, there's, you know, everybody says nothing but good things about our new O-line coach. So that perhaps there's some talent already on the field that it can be developed quite a bit. But you definitely need more depth at the offensive line than what we have, and more bodies, more competition. So hopefully we'll get some more guys in. Yeah, that would be the biggest question mark right now, in my opinion, on the offense. And just in general, the offense coming together, because you got a whole new system. You're obviously going to have a new quarterback. You know, you got a lot of new pieces at receiver. The running back room's pretty good. Tight end room solid despite the loss of
Shane Calhoun.
Calhoun, thank you. To me, the biggest two things on the offense are, well, three things. One, you know, quarterback play. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? Will we see them both? Both are extremely talented. Two, the offensive line, you know, got to build depth there. The line's going to have to come together. And three, just the whole offense is going to have to gel. I've said it multiple times, wouldn't be surprised early on to see a struggle and lose somebody. You know, who knows? You may see us lose to Old Dominion in week two and beat Liberty in week four. I mean, I think the offense is going to have to take a while to start clicking. Now, who knows? Lincoln Riley came in and the damn thing was clicking right out the box. So maybe it'll be the same thing with JDB.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's saying it's nothing for them to put up 40, 45 points a game and a lot of yards. So if that's the case with our defense, Kyle, if that's true, like you talk about for them to mesh together, then we can be going bowling again. That's something that this fan base deserves after a rough season. And I know that Bubba alluded to the fact that we're not a 2-10 program. It's a 2-10 season last year, and I think you're going to see a lot of improvement literally all across the board for this program for football.
And along those lines, as far as the development of the offense, I know in Pirate Nation, many folks in Pirate Nation have been pretty outspoken as far as their thoughts on playing SES opponents, I mean, specifically this year's opener against Norfolk State. But you know, personally, in this situation, I love it. You know, I'd much rather, you know, open at home against Norfolk State than in Norfolk against ODU. You know, go ahead and get a game under our belts in the new system. And then, you know, game two, you know, you're obviously much more prepared on when you go to Norfolk to face the Monarchs.
Yeah, I have no problem with the one FCS opponent a year. What I would like to see is one Power 5 opponent on the schedule every year. I like the I always like the 2-1-1. One FCS, one Power 5, two Group of 5 would be my ideal scheduling. But I so yeah, I'm with you, Bubba. Open it up with Norfolk State, working out some wrinkles before you go up to play ODU in Norfolk. And then, you know, I think just like Giovanni said there, game three, Appalachian State, that's the one everybody's going to have circled. I think if you ask any of our fans, ODU, App, or Liberty, which one you want to win, and I think to a man, if they could just choose one, would choose App State.
No doubt, especially Bubba. Bubba, you have, I know you have a lot of people that are, I know that in the western part of the state and connections at App State, and I know how much it gets to you when the, like, two losses in a row to that program.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that you know, they've flat whipped our butts on the last two times we've played in 2021, and then last season, and there wasn't anything fluky about it, and because back in 2021 the game was really not as close as the final score would lead you to believe. It was a butt kicking, and then last year, you know. Actually, you know, it was fairly competitive in the first half. I mean, at one point we had a 21-10 lead, but then just our lack of offense after halftime, and they were able to wear us down.
No, and if anybody at this point thinks it's fluky or we should just roll over App State, I don't know where you've been at the last decade. While App's been at the FBS level and what they've been doing, I mean, every year they're beating North Carolina, they're beating Texas A&M, they're beating South Carolina. So no shame in losing to App State, but I'd rather not do it three times in a row.
Hey, how about this one, Kyle? He says, Justin Butts, he says, I want to beat Liberty, LOL, just so I ain't got to hear it from my wife. His wife is a Liberty grad. She's a flame.
Well, yeah, you know, that would be a personal reason where I certainly understand if you had to choose one, it would be the Liberty Flames. But I think Justin would be in the minority there. You know, if you're choosing one of the three FBS non-conference opponents, but let's hope we don't. I don't know. There's a lot. It wouldn't surprise me. Me and Bubba had this conversation. We win two or three of those. You know, 4-0 non-conference. Also, wouldn't surprise me for 1-3 non-conferences.
It's hard to know.
I will caution everybody this year with this football team. It is a marathon, not a sprint. When you got this many new pieces coming together, if we're struggling early, you know, don't give up. You don't want it looking like complete and utter dog crap on offense like it did last year. But, you know, it may take some time to come together. Then again, it might click from day one. We'll see.
So, like I thought, John White, former Pirate pitcher, chiming in on YouTube saying, you know, welcome to Greenville. Javonte, he had one catch, and I think he redshirted. Yes, John, that is correct. I'd double-checked that myself on the Ole Miss stats from a season ago. He played in three games, you know, was able to utilize that four-game rule, had one catch for 7 yards while playing in those three games for Ole Miss.
And looking good, he – definitely, I think with all the offers that we got a great get there and him, and then it was great to talk to him. Definitely a great personality, for sure, for Javonte Connor. And for the tight end room, that makes me happy to have him, because losing Shane Calhoun was a big deal. But there's other guys out there like like him that they want to play, and they want to play. It's a different era now. When I was growing up, it would be like your freshman year, sophomore layer, limited action. Now everybody wants to play now. And so it's great to be able to pick him up. And I think our football team is going to be good. I really do.
Well, you know, as much as this offense utilizes the tight end, and I know Texas A&M has got a lot of money, and Shane's probably getting a nice paycheck, but man, Shane would have probably put up really big numbers in this offense this year. I really think he, you know, going down to Texas A&M, who knows how, he may start, he may back up, may not see the field, but, you know, I hope he didn't pass the forest for the trees to go take a bunch of money now from A&M when he could have had a breakout year this year and had a chance to go to the league in this new offense. But, you know, hopefully we have some other guys step up like Javonte there.
Yeah, it's Javonte. Yeah. So
Javonte, am I saying his name wrong?
Yeah, Jay, like a man's name, Vonte.
Javonte, not Javonte, but Javonte. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
It's all good. As far as baseball, let's do that real quick. I know Bubba's got to go in a little bit, but baseball guys, tough two games in a row for the Pirates, and we'll promise we'll be back on track with extra innings, but we can talk a little bit about that, and we also want to talk some hoops. We have obviously Pirates Unite and Team Boneyard as well to talk about, but guys, for our roundtable, Bubba, I know that you have to go, so let's talk about that, some baseball and basketball.
Yeah, we'll start off with baseball. As you mentioned, you know, the Pirates, this is absolutely crazy, guys, that we're this far into the season. 47 games now. Pirates, as you mentioned, I believe 37-10 is, of course, the record. But the 47th game of the season before ECU lost the game by more than two runs, losing 5-2 to ninth-ranked Duke last night. And just the second time this year that we've lost consecutive games.
First time at home.
And so you're facing very good Duke arms, and it's just one of those deals. You know, our lineup has been playing or swinging the bat really well, scoring a lot of runs top to bottom. But the last two games definitely have not been ourselves, and I think we'll get back on track down at Tulane this weekend in New Orleans. And I'm certainly not concerned, but you know, just a bad night to have one of your worst defensive performances with three errors, tying a season high, something that had happened in two or three other games, and then also a season low with only four hits.
Do you think we have to win out to get a top eight national seed?
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. We have D1 Baseball had their latest projections. I sent it to you guys in the group chat, and they have us at the number eight, the last national seed right now.
Yeah, but I wonder what we have to do to achieve that. Then to, you know, we'll you know, taking two from Tulane and then sweeping Rice or vice versa be enough? We won't beating Campbell midweek. You know, do we need to win out? Do we need to win the conference tournament? You know, what do we need to do to be a top eight national seed? And you know, and obviously, you know, pitching depth is a concern. We got some arms coming back, don't we?
Yeah. The only one we've lost for the whole season is Jake Hunter. But I think what they're doing, guys, I really believe, Bubba, chime in on this if you agree or don't agree. But as far as the guys we have with Zach Root and also with Wyatt Lunsford-Shinkman, those two guys with arm soreness, it is such a touchy thing, and I've never had to deal with it. But from what I've heard that, you know, Trey Savage had it last year. But I think what we're doing right now is we're trying to just manage all this and rest them enough so that when we have, for example, a regional, man, that's going to be tough. But if you get to the super regional and you have a Trey Savage and you have Zach Root for the first two games of a regional, you like your chances, especially we'll see how Savage comes back and Lunsford-Shinkman. But I think there's some of those young guys last night. Another thing I was impressed with, Bubba, I don't think it was the pitching last night. I think it was the errors, obviously. And also, you know, Duke stayed on as good as those arms. I mean, the arms, the bats are for Duke. They stayed on that number four for a handful of innings. We just couldn't hit. We couldn't score. any runs. And you have to give credit also, Kyle and Bubba, to the arms of Duke, because I knew the bats would be good. I wasn't quite sure about their arms, but the pitching last night for Duke was way better than I anticipated. Not that I thought that they were.
Well, I believe that's the strength of their team, Dave.
It is, but I mean, I'm talking about for just the whole night. It was more of a Johnny Holstaff, and they were really they hadn't beat East Carolina and Greenville since 1996. It was just everything seemed to be the food poisoning, having to play a doubleheader over the weekend. Everything just seemed like that we were outnumbered outmatched as far as not that we didn't have the talent, but just things were not clicking or going our way.
Just wasn't our night. Cliff Godwin said post game, you know, if you'd have told him that we were going to hold Duke to 5 runs, he'd have felt very good about our chances to win the game in a midweek scenario, and just wasn't to be. And you could tell, obviously, he was disappointed, but he smiled a couple times, just saying, "Hey, we're a good baseball team. I'm not concerned." This over the course of 54 games, as it turns out, we're playing in the regular season, and you're gonna have some off nights, and no reason to think that it was more than that.
Yeah, John White, former pitcher for the Pirates, said Duke started a weekend starter caliber guy who had been out for a while, and his stuff was good. And the second guy they brought in had great stuff too. Absolutely, John. I was talking to friends at work today, and they were like at the game and throwing in the 90s. And that happens with having the midweek game when it happened. Thankfully we didn't have to play VCU. We canceled that game, and now we're going on the road. And guys, I know we don't have to win all 3 games, but if we could sweep this weekend, it would be huge for us, because that Campbell game, that Campbell game, Kyle, is always a tough game, and it comes down to usually, it seems like, Bubba, 1 run every time. I don't know what it is either way.
Campbell isn't playing that great of baseball here lately. No, so we need to take care of business there. But first things first, down in New Orleans, we need to take care of business against Tulane. It's on the road, so you don't have to. I hate not getting that Duke game. That Duke game would have been such a good
exactly, Kyle.
Tier one. I don't know what that's the term I use.
Yeah, tier one.
Tier one win. So it kind of puts me in a mindset to get that to ensure us that we get that top 8 seed that I think we need to win out the regular season. I don't know how practical that is going on the road against Tulane, but you definitely got to take 2, come back and beat Campbell, and then at least take 2 against Rice, and win the conference regular season and go win the conference tournament. We would have to shit the bed big time not to host at this point, but you'd like to be a national seed. And certainly, you don't want to go on a losing streak, not host at all. But you feel like as long as you take care of business, that's almost a given at this point. Almost. I just wonder what we have to do to be a top 8 seed at this point. Like I said, getting that one last night would have gone a long way.
Let's say you go take the series in New Orleans this weekend and go 4-0 next week against Campbell and Rice. That would put you at 43-11 going to Clearwater. And then you go down to Clearwater and take care of business. Then I think we're in a great spot. And like you're saying, I think at this point, unless we just totally crap the bed over these next 7 games and then the tournament that we'll host, I think it's more now that we're playing for that top 8. Barring something crazy.
No doubt. And by the way, as far as the Pirates are concerned, sidebar for East Carolina fans, Bubba, they have until, was it Monday, to do the ticket request for the regionals and super regionals. That number is 252-737-4500 to call the ECU ticket office, or 1-800-DIAL-ECU. But am I right? Is it Monday the deadline?
I'd have to double check that. That sounds right. One of our listeners, Justin, Johnny, anyone that's tuned in,
yep.
If fact check us on that. But yes,
JR.
Obviously, those are tickets that are very hard to come by. One of the reasons, in addition to just, you know, having such a quality product, those season tickets are at such a premium, and people getting those seats so they don't get locked out of being able to purchase regional tickets. And so, yeah, look forward to after going to Charlottesville. Hopefully we handle our business as I expect us to over these next few weeks, and look forward to postseason baseball at Clark LeClair. Nothing like it.
And Johnny said, I think you're right, Johnny. I was a little premature. I think he's right. JR is saying he thinks it's the 20th. So I, now that you say the 20th, I think that's right. So we'll go with JR. He's a numbers guy like Bubba, so I'm not going to go after Johnny's stats. I'm glad that he's on my team, like Bubba for sure, being a Pirate. But I wanted to make sure people knew about that, because that's really important to get your request in. Because I tell you what, I'm feeling good about this team. And then, like, hey, Kyle, when, like you said, when we're a bubble team as far as a regional seed, a national seed, but as far as hosting a regional, I think we're pretty much locked in on that.
Unless we blow it down the stretch. It's like, as far as hosting goes, I think all that takes is win two against Tulane, win two against Rice. I don't, you know, and don't just go two and barbecue in the conference tournament, right, and you're going to host. But yeah, you know, we need to get locked in. Didn't play good baseball Wednesday night or Tuesday night. The game two doubleheader loss against the Bulls, to me, that was more of a game of the circumstances. I really believe had that been a 9-inning game, we'd have won it. But guys got to get back on track. Yeah, maybe give them a little hunger. It's just the second time they lost two in a row all year. Handled business midweek against UNC and NC State. Didn't against Duke. And maybe give them a little hunger, a little motivation to make sure they achieve their goal of hosting and being in the discussion and conversation for a national seed as we approach Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend.
Hey, Bubba, as far as softball is concerned out in Wichita, Wichita State is where our Lady Pirates had a good day, right?
Yeah, congrats to Shane Winkler and the softball team on, I think, their 38th victory, 38-18 now. You know, what a season it's been for them. He's steadily improved that program, and they've shown the necessary improvement in the American Athletic Conference this year. So it's been great to see, and the run's not over. Hopefully they can make it through this conference tournament, win a championship, and make it to the road to Oklahoma City. Getting back to the tournament, I guess, for the first time since Tony Paisley and the ladies eliminated the Texas Longhorns, back, I guess, 15 years or so ago now. Hard to believe. But 4-0 winners today over UAB. We had an inside the park home run on a ball hit to the left center gap where the left fielder and the center fielder were converging and ended up going to the fence. So now they will face North Texas. The Mean Green swept the opening series from us, as we were still, developing into the team that we currently are. So they'll be really ready for that matchup, in addition to just being, win or go home. And then if you win that one, you're going to take on the Charlotte 49ers, who we took 2 or 3 from, and they were a ranked team for much of the season. So once again, congratulations to those ladies, and I'm looking forward to hopefully a victory over North Texas.
What do you know the time on that, Bubba? I forgot to look that up. Or we can look that
up. I'll double check that right quick on the AAC website.
All right. And also we want to talk while we have a chance, Bubba and Kyle, we want to talk about, we're getting ready to get out of here in a few minutes, but we wanted to talk about basketball, Mike Schwartz. By the way, if you're looking to highly recommend, I can't do it this year. The dates don't work out for us, but Mike Schwartz basketball camps, Bubba, they even have a father-son basketball camp the day of, actually, I believe it's Father's Day. So just Google Mike Schwartz camps, and that's a really good, they do a great job with that basketball camp. Alex went last year.
Definitely check that out. The first pitch for softball is 1 o'clock tomorrow. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, again, okay, taking place out in Wichita. And the Shockers were the other team. I mean, you know, the Pirates got off to an 0-6 start in league play and then really played well from that point on to finish right there at 500. You know, perhaps I'm trying to remember if it was 500 or one game below, but a very strong showing in AAC play, you know, taking a series from ranked Charlotte, winning a game down at FAU and nearly winning that series against another ranked program. So, you know, we'll keep you posted on everything going on out in Wichita via our social media tomorrow afternoon as the Pirates take on the Mean Green at 1 p.m. But, yeah, as far as basketball is concerned, you have R.J. Felton, Cam Hayes, Ben Salvungo, Sierra Malonga, and Callum Richard returning. So, five scholarship players. You have Boogie Felton. That is
RJ's brother,
LaDonte Felton, RJ Felton's younger brother, coming in from Aiken, South Carolina, high school player. And then and Jay Shane Woodard from Indian River State, 6'7", 180. I really like the film that I saw on him. And so that puts you at seven scholarship players. And then you have Julian Samaro coming in from Gardner-Webb, a 5'11". 165-pound guard. He's the guy that played, you know, 28 to 30 minutes a game over the last two seasons for a good program there with Tim Kraft in Boiling Springs at Gardner-Webb. You know, he's a bona fide three-point shooter, shooting 37 or 38%. And also the same can be said for Asa Esambus, who's coming in from St. Bonaventure.
Well, you do it, you clean it up.
Yeah. Yeah, say that a few times fast. But Asa Esambus coming in from St. Bonaventure last year, you know, he had a game against Fordham where he scored 23. He was a starter for the Bonnies over the last two seasons, you know, pretty much every single game with the exception of perhaps one. As a freshman, he shot 41.6% from three on a high volume last year. Not as good, just shy of 34%, but once again, much like Julian Samaro from Gardner-Webb, a bona fide three-point shooter, a guy that's played 28 to 30 minutes per game over the course of two seasons, being a consistent starter for two seasons. I really like both of those pieces. You know, I think Julian last year averaged about 12 a game. Asa averaged 9 points and 6 rebounds per game. So now I think that puts us, at 9 scholarship players. So that leaves 4 scholarships to use, and not a whole lot's been put out there as far as possibilities. And very interested to see how we utilize these last 4 scholarships and fill these roster spots.
No doubt. One of the things we're doing right now is, once again, we're talking about basketball, selling hope. So that'll be something we can do here, hopefully. And again, it'll be great to see a Pirate basketball team with a winning record. I know that John Gilbert, if you have a chance, go back and listen to our good friend of the show.
Patrick, do you think that would help with the basketball games if we did that?
Well,
you said sell hope. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hope.
Oh, okay. All right. I misunderstood you.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. Hey, that's all we have, man. That's all we have. We'll pray that we can turn that thing around. You know, what's funny is the football team at 2-10. I feel better about the football season this year going into it versus basketball. But, you know, hey, we'll see how it plays out. We don't know yet. So let's do that. By the way, Bubba, I know that we're running out of time, but we wanted to – did you have anything on basketball, or do you want to go to Pirates Unite and Team Boneyard?
The final thing I had, Dave, before I have to run, is David Price of David Price Construction and the Team Boneyard board. You know, he will be the first of multiple guests from Team Boneyard that we will have over these next few weeks and months. So next Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m., we will be joined by David Price. Had the chance a few weeks back to meet David, and had an excellent conversation with him over a dinner following one of the games in the Charlotte series. And look forward to talking a little East Carolina athletics and Team Boneyard with David Price of David Price Construction next Wednesday at 8:30. Mark your calendars for that one.
And don't forget, we'll have extra innings on Sunday night. Hopefully we're talking about a sweep, obviously winning the series, but a sweep would be nice down. In fact, by the way, guys, Corey Glore gives his best. He has right now, unfortunately, swamped the next couple days, or he would be on the show with us. So I want to give him a shout out. Hey, Kyle, did you see the good news today? Mike Houston and Amanda Houston giving $100,000 to the Isley Performance Center. I always call it the indoor practice facility, but I believe that's correct. The Isley Performance Center, $100,000 from Coach Houston.
It's good. That's good. You know, it's good to always invest in your own program. And so glad to hear Coach Houston and his wife did that.
No doubt. In fact, we're now, if you're wondering, if you're playing at home, less than $1 million away from the baseball facility, the baseball expansion project. And Kyle, $3 million. The Barber family, go ahead and write that $3 million check, and we'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Okay. So I wanted to mention that. And obviously, Bubba has up on the screen for those listening, the 23club.org. And of course, they're supporting Pirate baseball players through NIL, and a great program there for sure. Again, it's the23club.org. It's kind of like a spinoff, if you will, of Teen Boneyard. So check that out. And finally, Kyle, our great sponsor for extra innings, our good friends at pgxgloves.com.
Yeah, pgxgloves.com, always the place to get your gloves for all your sporting needs. Whether you play golf and you want to go off show, you know, you want good looking golfing gloves. Well, you go to pgxgloves.com. Maybe your kid needs batting gloves. Maybe they're a wide receiver or a DB. Maybe you just need something to protect your fingerprints from, you know, who knows what, dude. Oh, man. Who knows? So pgxgloves.com is your spot for all your glove needs. Put in promo code ECU at checkout. Save yourself 20%. pgxgloves.com.
All right, good luck to the Pirates, our Lady Pirates in softball tomorrow at 1. And, of course, Pirates going down in baseball, playing on Tulane, playing Tulane this weekend. So we hope we can get a sweep there and come back. And then, of course, Campbell next Tuesday. But we'll have extra innings on Sunday night once again to find that out. Thanks so much to our great guest, Javonte Connor, the latest addition to the Pirate Nation for the football team with, of course, the tight ends room. And, of course, Kyle and Bubba, thank you guys. We'll see you again very soon right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And, as always, go Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.